I asked the question, is there a lost science with the power to heal our bodies, bring lasting peace to our world, perhaps avert the greatest tragedies ever to face humankind? I believe that the answer is yes. And now 2,500-year-old texts, as well as our own science, are saying precisely the same thing. Each time we consciously choose a new way of becoming from within and know that our outer world mirrors that to us, we experience the Isaiah effect. As we choose understanding, forgiveness, and compassion over rage, jealousy, and hate, we may fully expect to see those choices of peace mirrored in our outer world, in our social conditions, in our schools, in our families, perhaps even in the weather patterns, now as these relationships are being demonstrated by quantum science. Once again, ancient texts, ancient traditions, almost universally suggest that this wisdom, this power that lives within us, this inner technology that allows us to touch the cosmos and one another and the world around us, that information has been with us for a long time. Some of the information perhaps was recorded very clearly in these scrolls of the Dead Sea. I firmly believe that information this key, if it is so important to the people of this world, it would never have been left in just one place. And with that understanding in mind, with that belief, I have spent much of my adult life searching for elements of this information in the ancient, the indigenous, the remote, isolated, secluded repositories, libraries, and monasteries that remain with us today. And we have, in fact, found elements of precisely this information. From Egypt's Mount Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery, that was built over 1,500 years ago and has been a continuously used monastery since that time, we find perhaps one of the most extensive collections of the records. Researchers say that Mount Sinai is second only to the Vatican in terms of the quality and number of texts, primarily in the Greek and Aramaic and some in the Hebrew language. And it is in Mount Sinai today, as we've had the opportunity to share and witness and interact with the monks at this location. They have, in fact, shared some of these texts with us. So we know that some of this wisdom that went into the caves of the Dead Sea, even if we'd never found it there, some of those elements may be found in St. Catherine's Monastery, for example, on the Sinai Peninsula, and in other monasteries throughout the world. Perhaps, in addition to having those records in the libraries, maybe the monks and the nuns and the abbots that are actively living and practicing in these monasteries today, maybe they still use these traditions. Rather than speculating about what an ancient text may be saying, we could interact directly, questioning through the translators, the people who are still using these traditions today. Well, this is precisely what has happened. In the spring of 1998, my wife and I had the honor as well as the privilege of facilitating a pilgrimage for 22 days into the highlands of what today we call Central Tibet. And among the many things that the Tibetans are for us today, among the many traditions that they have preserved, we know the Tibetans are excellent record keepers. They tell us, in their own words, they have preserved the traditions of every spiritual, religious, and belief system that has ever gone through their land and visited their monasteries. Not only the Buddhist traditions, of which they are right now, the Tibetans have not always been Buddhist. Prior to the Buddhist traditions, they practice a belief system, a spiritual belief system called Bon, B-O-N, which is very, very similar to Native American traditions today, where they recognize their relationship to the elements of the earth, to the animals, to the cosmos, and know they are part of, rather than separate from, those traditions. Well, not only do we find Bon traditions, Buddhist traditions in the monasteries of Tibet, today we are also finding pre-Christian and Christian records in Tibetan monasteries. And I'd like to share a story with you about how this information unfolded for us during this pilgrimage in 1998. Well, over those 22 days, we had the opportunity to interact directly with hundreds of beautiful, beautiful Tibetan people, monks, nuns, the abbots of two particular monasteries. And it's very interesting. Each monastery essentially is as a university is for us today. In one particular monastery, one tradition has been preserved and taught for hundreds, sometimes even longer, sometimes thousands of years. So some monasteries are scholastic monasteries where they teach of their history. There are monasteries devoted specifically to the martial arts, for example. If you can imagine, how far can you carry the martial arts after hundreds of years developing those traditions? There were some monasteries that study only inner traditions, telepathic traditions, and this is what they spoke to us about. They were so joyed to see that we had journeyed from our world into their world that rather than witnessing them from a distance as observers, they invited us to sit among them and to share their yak butter tea and to share their songs and their chants and their tones of peace. And we shared back with them our own songs of peace. Now, I'm saying all this because it was these experiences through the monks, through the nuns, that led to a camaraderie and a friendship, a deep friendship. And I believe it's through that friendship, opportunity opened to us that may have not opened otherwise.